Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, pretty much every day we take a look at the top stories of the headlines and try to, through a biblical worldview, and I'm not ashamed to use that term. There are people that kind of hide from that term, but we try to take a look at what those headlines mean and contextualize, at least on some level, not only why it's important, but perhaps what is important about it and why it matters to our lives, and is there something that relates to that, whether it's politics or culture or education or any number of things. Well, someone who's had a similar calling but in a very different way is Jonathan Kahn, who is the senior pastor, senior teaching messianic rabbi of the Beth Israel Worship Center in Wayne, New Jersey. And you may know some of his many best-selling books. The one probably he's most well known for is The Harbinger, that was a few years ago that came out. And he's got a new one that he wants to talk with us about today. And I always love chatting with Jonathan because we have such a good understanding of one another. Rabbi, it's good to have you back. I really appreciate you being spending some time with us today.
Always great to be with you.
And congratulations.
We met in person, but always great to be with you.
And congratulations on the immense success of The Harbinger. I don't think anybody can argue that it hasn't sold a ton of copies. But what was the coming out of that experience? How did your life change due to the way that message was received and so welcomed by readers?
Yeah, well, everything changed around me. You know, that suddenly, you know, I mean, I was known in the messianic kind of world, and but it suddenly, I mean, that now I'm, you know, doing media and television and all, and it just nothing changes with the Lord, you know, and if anything, it only humbles me, you know, has only humbled me. But, it gave a platform. You know, I was able, the Lord, you know, by his grace, opened doors, you know, where I could speak to, on Capitol Hill members of Congress or the United Nations.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have dreamed of that, you know, anything like that. But, on one hand, mind-blowing. On the other hand, you know, I knew it was the Lord. When it came to me, I knew it was the Lord. I knew it would go forth. You know, I didn't know how, you know, and he just did that. I mean, by his power, you know. And so really, you know, everything around me changed, you know, but, you know, me with the Lord hasn't changed. You know, it only humbles me. I was with Dr. Dobson and the other day, and he said to me, you know, he said, I just don't want to mess up what the Lord's doing. And that's how I feel.
You know, that's a great way of expressing it. And, you know, there's so many people that sometimes have a unique opportunity that is kind of presented. And when it does impact them in a rather significant way in terms of material success or worldly success, it also seems to kind of change them. And I've been glad to follow what you're doing and seeing how God is continuing to use you, but not letting you become one of those stories. So that's really good stuff.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, so for people that are not familiar with Jonathan Kahn and his writing and what he does, give us the elevator pitch of in term, because you're full-time pastor, but it's a messianic congregation, so there's elements of obviously the observation of Jewish observance, and then there's also biblical Christianity, New Testament teaching that goes along with it. So if you were to introduce yourselves to someone on the street who had no clue what you were about, give me who that is, so that people that are listening can contextualize that.
Okay, a sinner saved by grace.
There you go.
But as far as that, well, you know, as far as the ministry here, yeah, I've been doing that for years and years, as you know, it's in our area. That's messianic. Basically, you know, listen, I'm Jewish and I'm a believer in Jesus, which is really, you know, to the world, that's great. How can you do that to Jewish people? When Jewish people see it, it's great. But it's the most natural thing in the world. What's more natural than following the Jewish Messiah as a Jewish person? I mean, I've never been more Jewish since that. But it's not just, you know, it's not just for Jewish people. I mean, it's for everybody. The point is, if we were here 2,000 years ago, it would be like that. You know, it would be no question that this is something Jewish. Jesus is Jewish, but it's for everybody. In fact, when it says when you're born again, you become a citizen of Israel. So it is, you know, it really, Beth Israel or Jerusalem Center in Wayne, which is where we meet, that is, it's like a United Nations of people. I mean, literally, totally united. There's Jewish people, but there's all people, because it's the roots of every Christian, every believer. That's where we were. That's what, if you want to, we, you know, people go to Israel because they want to know about more about about Jesus. You know, people come to from other churches to come to Beth Israel for that same reason. And as far as so that's one stream. The other is that then the Lord started giving me this thing. You know, I was standing on the on ground zero, and I saw a tree that was struck down, and it's like the Spirit said, "There's something here. There's a mystery, and you have to seek it out." And that's kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what the harbinger was. So the harbinger is very, you know, prophetic. So the books tend to be prophetic in that they're speaking to this moment, the signs that are taking place, what is, you know, the warnings of God for America, and also, you know, that's several of books. You know, the paradigm is about that too. But then again, you know, I did the Book of Mysteries, which is all just the mysteries of God, you know, and also I think that, you know, these two things have been separated, Kevin, for 2,000 years. You had the church on one side, you had the Jewish people on the other, but they're meant to come together. It all came, it started together. And I think there's some things that only come together, like riches of flavor, you know, insight or mysteries are revealed when it all comes together. So we're in that time.
Well, I certainly believe and have held to that from my earliest of youth, even though I would never have thought of myself as being particularly messianic or anything like that. But I do love the fact that when you follow a traditional, literarily accurate understanding of the text, that you can work your way from Genesis to Revelation with a consistent understanding of not only who the God of the Bible and of the ancient Israeli people were, but what he did by sending the Messiah, what it means to us now, and what's going to happen in the days to come. And that's kind of what you've been focusing on in more recent times. In fact, let's talk about the new book, The Oracle. Again, what is the big idea behind the newest offering from Jonathan Cahn?
Yeah, well, the Oracle has got to be the biggest mystery I've ever dealt with, or open. It's really the secret in so many ways behind what has been, what is happening right now, current events, even in the White House, what is yet to come. And it is really, in many ways, the master kind of blueprint of the end times, the mystery. And it's so precise that it's not just a general thing. It actually gives specific days or years and dates when things had to happen according to the mysteries in the Bible, and it's everything from Moses to Mark Twain, and from Ezekiel to President Donald Trump. Even the rise of America is part of the mystery. It's even the blueprint of our lives. And I will just kind of set the stage of it. Imagine if there were ancient scrolls that were open to specific words pointed for that day that are to be read on that day, and when the words are read, the events start coming true in the world. That sounds like it's fantasy, but it's real. And the thing, what if we could know what was in those scrolls? And then we're talking about the scrolls of God that the Jewish people have, and they read every Sabbath. Well, it's an amazing thing throughout the Oracle that there's these appointed words, and they're linked to what is happening when they're read. The other kind of big kind of picture of this is that, you know, the Lord speaks about the Jubilee year. And one of the things the Oracle opens up is the Jubilee and mysteries, and that is this, that, you know, year of Jubilee is the year you come home. You lost your land, you come home, you get restored. Every 50th year, you get whatever you lost, you get it back. Well, the Jewish people lost everything. And the end time prophecy of the Bible says that in the last days, the sign is that God's going to bring the Jewish people back to Israel. And that is totally what, you know, I was an atheist. When I saw that, I could not argue with that. It's happening. And so, but the thing is, the amazing thing is that all these end time events, Israel coming back and all, it's linked to this Jubilee mystery, that everything happens like clockwork at the appointed times. And with the Oracle, it's revealing it from one to the next, to, you know, the past, where we are right now, and then also, as you mentioned, the future. Could we know the future? In many ways, we can. And so in the just one note of it, those who know the Harbinger, I was led to reveal it's all real. I mean, it's the Oracle is kind of an explosion of the reality of God, that the God of the Bible is the God behind everything right now, even the political realm. But the thing is that I revealed it through a narrative. So there's a story of a man going to a man called the Oracle. The Oracle starts revealing it through these seven doors of Revelation. Every door opens to like about eight mysteries. And we won't be able to give a taste today, but everything that's revealed is real.
That's very cool. And I love the fact that you're tying it to a narrative so people can engage the imagination and kind of feel on a different level than just having information come at them. We're speaking with Jonathan Kahn. The new book is called The Oracle, and it is the Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. In fact, it's available right now and is on a couple of bestsellers lists at Amazon. So congratulations on that as well, Jonathan.
Thank you, Kevin.
So you've got these seven doors. Let's go through a couple of them for us.
Well, I'll mention, there's one thing called the Jubilean Code. Now, imagine that there's actually something in the Bible that's encoded that tells us an event that's happening now. Amazing thing. The first time God ever told the Jewish people, you shall return, is actually in that Jubilean law. When he tells them about the Jubilee, you shall return to your ancestral land. Well, in Hebrew, you know, when you write the year out, you don't use numbers, you use Hebrew letters, because every letter has a number. Now, it's not some mystical thing. This is exactly how they do it in Israel. Well, the amazing thing is, when it says you shall return in Hebrew, from Moses, it's one word, tashavu in Hebrew. Well, that adds up to a number that identifies a year. What year does it add up to? It adds up to the year 1948. 1948 is the year that Israel returned into the world. I mean, after, so it was all there in the first time God said you shall return. I'll throw in another one. There's something when you saw in the first door of the oracle. It's when does this all begin? Well, there's a prophecy that Moses gave. He said Israel's going to come back, and in the end times. But before that happens, he says a stranger is going to come from far away, and he's going to come to the land of Israel, and the land of Israel is going to be a desolate wasteland, and he's going to bear witness basically to the world that it is desolate, it is barren, it is cursed, and then right after that, God is going to start restoring it, bringing Jewish people back. Well, did this ever happen? Amazing thing is it did. And it happened. It's a man came from across the world, came to the land of Israel. This is about 150 years ago. Came there. He had a notepad. He bore witness of the devastation, wrote a book, became famous. Actually, we know the guy. It was Mark Twain. Mark Twain fulfilled biblical prophecy. He actually used the same words that Moses used. Moses said he's going to say this. He says this. It's in his book. It's what made him famous. And the thing is that when he got to the end of his journey, the last full day and night in Jerusalem, he's in Jerusalem, he's walking the streets, and they're chanting, the Jewish people are opening up those scrolls, and it's appointed for that day. It's a Sabbath. They're chanting what's appointed in the scroll. What was it? That day, it was the prophecy of Moses, the Lord will bring the stranger, will come to the land. So here he is in the land. And they're chanting. This is like mind-boggling how God's in everything. And one other thing about Mark Twain is that, for 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been praying this prayer every day. They're saying, Lord, hear our prayer and be merciful, bring us back to the land. So it's hear our prayer, be merciful. Mark Twain's real name, of course, wasn't Mark Twain. Samuel Clemens. Samuel means the Lord has heard, and Clemens means and has been merciful.
Oh, wow. We're speaking with Jonathan Kahn. The book is called The Oracle. It's available everywhere books are sold, but Amazon.com, of course, an easy way to get a hold of it. Talk to me a little bit, because I'm going to be taking a trip, and hopefully some listeners and friends will be able to join us in February. This will be my fourth trip leading a trip to Israel. But we always go to Masada, and I noted that in the Oracle you've got a connection between Masada and the next year Jubilee. So tie that together for me.
Yeah, sure. And by the way, so everybody knows, this is going to...
And the reason I ask is because Masada is one of the least, like when you go to the biblical sites, the tour guides talk all about biblical history and context, and they say, this is, you look it up in this book, and this is where it was, and that's how they stood, and all. You get to Masada, it's like a completely different kind of experience. They don't reference anything related to biblical history, so this really kind of jumped out at me.
Right, absolutely. Listen, these mysteries are going to take us to where we are now, even Donald Trump. But I want to, this is going to be a link to what happened in one of the Jubilean years, which is ultimately 1967 is when Israel regained Jerusalem. But before that happened, a mystery. Masada, for those who don't know, Masada is the mountain where Israel fought its last stand in ancient times. It's where it died against the Roman Empire. That was the end, And so it's Israel's grave. It's the grave of ancient Israel. Well, for 2,000 years, Jewish people are wandering the earth, and Masada is abandoned, but there was a mystery hidden on that mountain. And in that mountain, it was waiting for 2,000 years for the Jewish people to come back and open it up. So they came back to Israel. Israel became a nation, as God said. Then they said, let's go back to Masada and let's uncover it. So they're going back to their ancient grave. I mean, and they open up, they open up the earth and they find these parchments that have been waiting for 2,000 years. And what's on the parchment? It's the prophecy that where God says, it says, the Lord, Ezekiel says, the Lord took me into a valley of dry bones. And God said, can these bones live? And he says, speak to them, and the bones start resurrecting. It's a prophecy of the resurrection of Israel. God has hid it that for 2,000 years in the grave of Israel to say that it's going to be resurrected. And then it says, I will open up your grave. So on the prophecy, they're opening up their own grave of ancient Israel, and it says, I will open your graves. But not only that, I mean, that's enough. I mean, that's how real God is. But on top of that, Kevin, I found something that there's a mystery in Masada. I won't be able to go through the detail. It's called the Masada algorithm. It's a second mystery. But from the moment Israel returned to that mountain, there's a time clock that starts. And it actually tells you from that moment, it gives you the exact number of days till Israel will return to Jerusalem. And it comes out to the date, June 7th, 1967, the very day that Israeli soldiers enter the gates of Jerusalem. That is all there exactly to the
Wow. Day. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Well, and now that puts Masada in a different context for me when we go back. Okay, you teased us a little bit, and we don't have time to do the whole thing. And friends, That's why you need to buy the book anyway. you need to get the book so you can read the whole thing. But you teased a mystery involving Donald Trump. And I know that that numbers and all these things, the Old Testament is replete with, 7 days, 10 days, the symbolism, all this stuff matters. But how on God's green earth could Donald Trump be part of this seeming mathematical mystery?
Amazing. I'll say this. This is in the fifth door of the Oracle, and there's several. This takes us to right where we are now, because there was a Jubilee year, which, if you count, and I won't go through, just say from 1967, count 50 years, it takes you to 2017. That means that something's going to happen that concerns the restoration of Jerusalem or restoration of Israel. Well, the one thing that Israel never gotten since they were was the legal right or the legal recognition, and that's part of the Jubilee. Well, it happened in 2017, and it was Donald Trump who issues the Jerusalem Declaration. First time any such declaration since the days of the ancient emperors of Persia. I mean, that's
where he said, not only is Jerusalem the capital, but I'm going to move our embassy there. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And a man, and he does it right on time. And listen, Kevin, it's not that Donald Trump is trying to he's not studying Leviticus. I'm sure.
Yeah, he has no clue.
And the thing is, he did it just within 30 days of the end of the Jubilee year, 2017. And he follows the pattern of what you just mentioned. Like, he says, I'll build a house. Well, Cyrus said, I'll build a house. At the same time, his declaration follows the pattern of Cyrus. But let me just throw the two things. It's just awesome stuff. One is that this, the Jubilee, what do you have in the Jubilee? Everybody knows this. The Jubilee year, you have a trumpet sound. You sound the shofar, the Jubilee, and that's when it does. Well, so you got 2017, year of Jubilee. What does our president's name mean? In English, it means the trumpet. Trump means the trumpet. So when did he come to power? In the year of Jubilee, 2017. What does Leviticus say? The trump shall sound throughout the land, and when it does, the right will return to the owner of the original. That's exactly what happened. And Kevin, let me just say this. This is, by the way, I'm just skimming it, but it's in a chapter called The Trumpet Man. But the thing is that also on the day that he was born, Kevin, I just found this out like when I finished writing this, there was actually an appointed scripture that was read throughout the world. I won't go into detail, but it's the whole mystery of Donald Trump. It was like waiting for that Jubilee year. And I'll just mention one more thing about Donald Trump, and this is awesome. That there's a mystery in the Bible that when it says the king will issue a decree concerning Jerusalem, and that's Cyrus, in the Bible, that's Cyrus, and he issued it. It says it will happen at the end of after 70 years. Well, in the Bible, that was 70 years concerning Israel. Well, could it be tied to a 70-year period with Israel? Well, what happens if you go back 70 years from 2017? It takes you to the year 1947, the year Israel is voted into the world, begins the 70 years. Trump does it at the end. But even deeper, I looked to the day that Israel was voted into the world on the Hebrew calendar. Fast forward 70 years, and the day that meant that actually marks the day at the end of the 70 years is December 6th. And that's the exact day that Donald Trump issued that declaration.
Wow. All right, friends, I'm not going to spill any more of the beans. You're going to need to buy the book, and here's how you can easiest do that. Go to theoraclemystery.com. That's all one word, theoracle, O-R-A-C-L-E, mystery.com, theoraclemystery.com. You can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, christianbook.com. We at Salem like that one. Hopeoftheworld.org is where you can visit Jonathan's website and get more information as well, hopeoftheworld.org. But, Jonathan, always a pleasure to have you with us. And you make us think, and then you make us dig. And I like that. I like you're kind of like a mental historical site. You know, it's an archaeological framework that we enter into when we read a Jonathan Cahn book. And I love that. That's, by the way, been my experience in Israel. Anywhere you stand, you have history upon history upon history. And if you just start taking layer off after layer, you start finding out things that are just the coolest. And you
God
do that for us in print.
God is real of the past, present, and future. And the God of the Bible, on a takeaway, the God of the Bible is totally real. And I'm hoping, I'm praying that the Oracle is not just for believers, but that they, for people who don't know the Lord, you know, because God is absolutely real. Be encouraged, everybody. Be strong. You know?
Well, it's a good way to kind of get the conversation going is to challenge them with, how do you explain how this happened if it didn't? Now, real quick, Jonathan, just a couple more minutes. The reunification of Israel happened, what was it, last year? And that, I mean, the 50th anniversary of that was last year. I'm just curious if there was any connection to that in anything that you studied for the Oracle.
Yeah, well, 1967 is when that happened. Now, that's a jubilee year. Now, I'll tell you, this determines what happens in the Capitol. The Senate votes, actually passes a resolution in 2017, year jubilee, commemorating the 50th year, the unification of Jerusalem. And when they do, they call for the president to recognize Jerusalem. Now, this is how it all begins. So now, the 50th year in the Bible, you know, here is jubilee, and then restoring something, which is what Trump did, is also part of the jubilee. So, but the thing is, when the Senate did that, you talk about the unification of Jerusalem, it wasn't just the year of jubilee; they did it exact on the date exactly.
Okay, this is crazy. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, this has determined the rise of America. This has determined everything, and it's also the blueprint of our lives. Because listen, God has a restoration for each of us, and that's what it's about. Also, it's the future, because I'll just mention one thing. The ultimate blueprint or secret of the end times is in this mystery, because the mystery is everyone shall return to where they left. Well, where was Israel at the beginning of the age when Jesus was here? They were in Israel, so they got to be back. Everything has to return at the end to where it was the beginning. But also, the world is also part of the mystery. The sixth door deals with the mystery, the future, and there's a mystery called the Dark Jubilee, and that is that where was the world 2,000 years ago? Well, it was wrong. It was not Christian. It was pagan. It was unchristian, anti-Christian. Well, we're also watching the world, mainstream culture returning to its original state. You know, and so, you know, that's part of the mystery. And now they're still going to be wrong. But the good news, here's another mystery in that, is that where was the church 2,000 years ago? Well, we weren't comfortable. We weren't, it wasn't religious. It was the book of Acts. It was on fire. It was radical. It was revolutionary. It was life-changing, world-changing. Well, God is calling the end-time believer to return to the book of Acts. We and those who stand like you, and I've always admired how you have stood for the Lord. Those who stand, who do not compromise, will become. God will give the power for us to be as the book of Acts, as the apostles, disciples, life-changing, world-changing. So this, people say it's the worst of times. It's also the best of times.
Oh, that's a good note to end on. Jonathan Cahn, thank you so much for taking the time. We could literally do this for 3 hours, but I just don't have the time to do it. Anyway, it's called The Oracle. Go to theoraclemystery.com and check out all of the other stuff that Jonathan's involved with at hopeoftheworld.org. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Kevin McCullough, stay with us.